Hey cousins, it's Debbie Brown from Deeply Well with Debbie Brown. I'm so excited to announce that I'm going to be hitting the stage at the Black Effect Podcast Festival. So join me for a live episode of Deeply Well. It'll be featuring Michelle Williams and Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. I cannot wait to be in conversation with these beautiful queens, along with some of the dopest shows in the podcast industry. They will be there too, all taking place in Atlanta, Saturday, April 27th. I'll be hitting the live podcast stage with other amazing shows like Carefully Reckless, Black Tech Green Money, and so many more. Make sure you grab your tickets at blackeffect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeart Media.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
From grandmothers who whispered in their baby girl ear, to fathers on dimly lit street corners instructing young soldiers to always keep their eyes open. You be queen. You were fire. You were passed through centuries on the hands of your daughters. They called you wisdom. Proverbs. On the backs of diamond-eyed schoolchildren who grew into hymnals recited by amethyst-holding urban philosophers who recited neighborhood commandments out of the windows of restored El Camino chariots to keep the warmth in their blood. Be wise. Be smart. Be black opal, brown quartz, bloodstone, and prayer. Be every form of gem. See, king told scribe, scribe told son, son told wife, wife told her daughter, and daughter told the ancestors, and the ancestors told me that you would come to give wisdom to thousands. They said you would come. Dropping gems.
Hey, welcome to the Dropping Gems podcast. I am your host, Debbie Brown. This is episode 17, and this is officially my first episode while being in quarantine captivity. Yo, I almost started this episode saying, hey, all you cool cats and kittens. Shout out to anybody binge watching all the random things like Tiger King. All right, so today it's a lot, guys. I mean, obviously, we are all experiencing things that we have very literally never experienced before in any form or fashion. This is the quarantine life. I purposely kind of didn't rush to do an episode catered to this new dimension of our reality because I wanted to take time to really sit with myself. I didn't want to rush with quarantine content. I wanted to sit, I wanted to feel, and I wanted to really do some soul searching. How am I truly feeling about this? What is my perspective? How am I really tangibly healing in this moment? And, you know, being able to grow and find peace and find joy. So I've taken the last couple of weeks to really sit with that and sit with my thoughts. And then I decided to crack out my mic and get going. This episode, we are going to be talking about what we're experiencing right now and what are some tools that we can use in this moment to make this experience for our highest good possible. So obviously life has changed significantly. I am personally choosing to call this chapter of my life the divine timeout. I am actively trying to look at this moment, even through the anxiety and the fear that does come up for me sometimes. I'm choosing to look at it as almost, as one of my girlfriends expressed it, almost a divine abandonment of sorts. Like really, really look in to that phrase in this moment. Take a second. Divine abandonment. What does that look like? What does that feel like? Do we have to experience this moment in time, this pandemic, as something that is completely, utterly terrifying? You know, if there's anybody right there listening that has been maybe taking on some emotions of feeling let down by God, feeling confused by God, I really encourage you to listen to this episode with an open heart and think about the possibility of rephrasing some of the feelings that you're having. Divine abandonment, divine timeout, opportunity. Is there opportunity in this moment? We're going to start walking down that path. All right. I want to share my experience so far with you guys. You know, it's funny, and I know a lot of listeners are really doing some major work and are pretty plugged into their intuition. So you might feel me on this. It's been interesting looking at what we're experiencing through the lens of, did we feel any of this energy shift coming? I've been using like this last year. I started this actually January 2019, but I kind of made it a little more intense for January 2020. I have been very deliberately tracking my growth as a spirit in this human form. And I've been journaling like crazy for the past year and a half and really charting all of the things that have been coming up for me intuitively, you know, and really seeing like, is my connection to divine source, as my connection to spirit, as my connection to myself in service of me. So I've been trying to chart some of my thoughts, some of the feelings that have been coming up. And when I look back on this moment coming up, what's kind of interesting for me is, you know, I've expressed this on a couple of other episodes. I have been wrestling with anxiety rooted around feeling safe or unsafe. And to be quite honest, I've never wrestled with anxiety. Now, I have through various moments of my life experienced sparks of sadness, sparks of depression, sparks of real, real lows. But I don't necessarily, in the way that anxiety is defined, I haven't felt very connected to that until I had my son. And more specifically, until the last handful of months. I didn't know what it was, but I was just overtaken so constantly by this feeling of fear, by this feeling of fear for my safety, fear for my life. And I was kind of thinking, you know, what is this? I went and had a therapy session, hadn't done that in a while, went and sat down and kind of walked through some of these thoughts. I brought it up in one of the spiritual programs that I'm in, and I just kept coming back to, why do I all of a sudden have this fear of death that's taken over me? And especially this fear of some type of harm or pain coming to myself or my son. And everyone just kept telling me, you know, you got to surrender. You have to trust the universe. You have to trust. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I've done that in so many facets of my life, but it has to be something else. Like that just didn't feel like it sat with me. And I shared on the last episode with you guys, like two experiences that were really scary. You know, the experience of that man trying to pull me out of my vehicle, then the experience of holding space for that woman in the street who got attacked by those two men in this road rage situation. And I said, you know, universe, I'm telling you that I'm not feeling so hot. Why would you put two circumstances in my path that reinforce that fear? And so kind of what came up for me as I sat with it in the last few weeks, I really realized that it was kind of this energetic preparation. And also what I was feeling was this impending shift. It was this change coming about. I was also having several conversations with friends off the mic about this this lifestyle of overconsumption can't continue. Like, there's gonna have to be a pop of this bubble. All of us out here in the world being entrepreneurs, lots of people selling lots of things, and this kind of cash grab mentality of luxury and purchasing and flaunting of wealth, and also like connecting people to items that are not necessarily like serving them, but they're like the all of these small mindless purchases that I'm also guilty of making myself as you scroll. And I was just like, there has to be something coming. We're having this overconsumption, this materialism. All of a sudden, this fear is rising in me that's never been before, that's deeply irrational. And then also I was feeling like, you know, as I expressed on another episode, this experience of, when are we going to process all of these high level traumatic conversations that we have been having societally for the last couple of years? You know, we were really in this space of uncharted territory where we were breaking down these concepts and these lessons and these experiences about race, about womanhood, sexism, trauma, predatory behavior, sexuality, like all of these new dimensions of awakening within human consciousness were happening kind of in an overloaded way, like extremely fast paced. And what I've learned being on my own journey is that when we are just rushing to fill ourselves with knowledge, but we're not also taking time to process and embody what we're learning, one, we do a high level of spiritual bypassing. Two, it's hard to stick, right? Like, more often than not, you find that people weaponize this new language, these new explanations of feelings, these new tools, and don't actually use it for radical change of self or radical change in service to the world. So all of those thoughts have been going through my head truly for the last 6 months. And I'm just like, there is something coming. There is this boiling point. In my life, I've kind of described it, and it's happened to me in really good ways and also in shocking ways and challenging ways. But I've always described it to myself as kind of this Phil Collins feeling. I don't know. I mean, not to date myself, but I have like the taste of an older woman in a lot of ways, even in my 20s, I did. But, you know, Phil Collins, he's a musician, he's an artist, he's wildly famous in many, many, many circles. He has this song that's like, I think it's called In the Air of the Night, but it's the song with that crazy drum pattern that starts as like, ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Like, it just, it's this long song with this slow build of tempo until it like hits this climax. And that's kind of how I energetically feel sometimes when I know that something is coming, but I don't quite know what it is. That's how I've been feeling for the last 6 months. So when we kind of came into this moment of this opportunity to divinely time out, even in the midst of profound pain and challenge, that's kind of what that felt like to me. So I found that kind of interesting. I was also looking at like some of my behaviors, like the last 3 months I'd been on this home purge, cleaning out all the rooms, donating, donating, donating. We had linked with like a lot of high schools in underserved areas, thanks to my amazing organizer, Julie, with No Wire Hangers. She had got like a lot of our stuff into underserved communities, into the high schools specifically, like kids that who are in foster care that needs access to clothes and need access to even luggage and different home items. So that was amazing. But we had been doing this massive purge. And I was like, why do I feel so compelled to do all of this right now? And I think that was also kind of my higher self coming in and saying, girl, you about to be trapped in the house for God knows how long. You will lose your mind if you if you look around and see all these projects everywhere. But anyway, I say all that to say, it's just kind of interesting to spend some time doing some gut checking and checking in with your intuition, especially for in the capacity that a lot of people are so far removed from their God-led intuition because we go against so many decisions that come up for us and do the opposite. That this is also an awesome opportunity to really cultivate your intuition, like to really do some gut checking of what feelings are coming up. Did I feel any shifts happening before this happened? You know, really examine your emotional responses and your mental responses. So I did a little bit of that. To be quite honest, while I'm sharing my experience so far, the anxiety has been coming in waves. I've had a lot of really peaceful days. You know, if you follow me on my Instagram at Debbie Brown, I've done a lot of talking about trying to be really, really deliberate about seeking out tiny joy and small wins, you know, smaller, less grand things to feel really grateful for. And I've been doing a lot of that through connecting with nature. I feel incredibly grateful to have a patch of green space, you know, be able to have a backyard, be able to have a street that we are still allowed to walk up and down while experiencing this social distancing. And I've just been connecting to lots of sounds of nature. One thing that I have found really beautiful that helps calm and quell my anxiety is when I go outside on, you know, a day we happen to have good weather and I feel that sunshine on my skin, I'm a very solar powered person. When I feel that sun, when that wind goes across my face and I smell the air, when my eyes are closed and I feel the glow of that light against my eyelids and I see that orangey, you know, kind of glow and I hear nature and I hear the birds and I hear the insects. You know, it's kind of a trip when we really lean into that because so much of our days are so busy and so crowded with other things that it also impacts our animal friends. You know, it impacts nature's normal movements. And for there to be so much silence without the cars, without the people, without the horns honking, and to really just lean in and deepen that connection to these sounds that are more of an afterthought in our day and making them more front and center, it's been really healing for me. It's really helped in some of my more difficult moments. At production time, it's a Sunday, I'm recording this episode, and Friday was a really tough day for me. You know, Friday, I kind of became very overwhelmed by the sadness of the world. I'm an empath. I know a lot of people are familiar with that word. I'm very deeply connected to the emotions of other people. I will cry for someone else long before I cry for myself. And I mean, I'm talking like I could be on the street and see something, or I could, you know, be watching a commercial that's kind of sad and I'll just be like, oh, compassion, you know. So I'm kind of a bleeding heart in that way. And just watching the news and seeing some of these stories, having fear for my own family and my own safety. And I was just overwhelmed and I felt disconnected from source, you know. So I allowed myself to feel it. And I didn't push through it and try to just rush to this experience of resilience. I pushed through it. I went outside. I started playing like some old soul music. I played like the Commodore Zoom. I played Common the Light, which is a song that means a lot to me. I played like some old Bobby Caldwell. I hope this isn't going over everybody's heads, but I went into like my OG soul bag and pulled out like songs that had really like vivid instrumentation and really like breathtaking lyrics. And I just played them loud, sat in the sun, and I cried. And I just cried until I stopped. Wiped my face, got up, came in the house, really focused on my breathing that day. So we're all feeling it, you know, and I just encourage you to feel the feelings as they come up. And then also give yourself the grace and the ability to move through those feelings and find other moments, the small wins. You know, in this moment, we are grieving the year we thought we were going to have. We all are. Some people in big ways, some people in small ways, you know. There were a lot of opportunities that got canceled for me within 2 days, you know, stuff that I had been working for years on. And that shit was hard. Hurt my feelings, you know. Thinking about not being able to have a party for my son's second birthday in a couple of days. I felt a lot of sadness about my son not being able to be in school. These are really important developmental years for him. He is going to be 2 in a couple of weeks. You know, having him have the ability to be around other children, to have, you know, balanced play, to really activate his speech. I felt a lot of sadness. I felt like I was letting him down by not being able to have access to those things. You know, that was tough. So you grieve that feeling. You grieve, you know, I grieve my own birthday coming up a little bit. The travel plans that I had, the stuff that I wanted to do with people that I loved, you know, and none of that is trivial. This is all very real stuff. We have been trained to always make plans. We have been trained to see life through very milestone-driven markers, you know, to see life through a lot of capitalistic errors and materialism. And so when some of that stuff is changing for us, it causes inner conflict. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to feel that and to also explore that. You know, what's a real feeling? And what is something that is maybe societal programming that it's okay to unburden yourself from, you know? Something that I've also been drawing strength from right now is really looking at the challenging moments of my past and seeing how I fared, and then seeing what elements I learned from those challenges that I can bring forth into my life right now to be of service to my highest self. You know, I've shared this before, but you know, when I first even stood in the fullness of my spiritual journey, when I decided to really go for it in a way that I never had before, I was in a period of my life where I wanted to die. You know, I was in a profound amount of depression and sadness and restlessness. I felt deeply let down by the majority of the people that really meant something to me. I felt so isolated. I felt so alone. And, you know, it wasn't at the point where it was like, I want to die, so I'm going to do it. It was more like I believe what it's called is like suicide ideation, where you're just like, okay, if today's the day, I would be fine with that. That was the space that I was in. I was like, well, if God says that, you know, I should go now, thank you. Let's do it. But I was also too vain to ever really give any serious thought to actually cause myself harm. But it was my lowest place in life. But that was the biggest moment of my life as well. And I feel so grateful for the depth of sadness I had at that time and the depth of hopelessness I had at that time. Because if I had not allowed myself to feel those things in real time and sit with them and still choose to live and still choose to thrive and still choose to seek out tools and solutions, I would not even be close to being who I am right now. Like, not even close. I have absolutely no idea what my life would look like. I might have gone on to continue to be successful. I might have gone on to, you know, do cool things, but there is no way in hell my soul would look or feel like it does right now if I didn't have that darkness in those moments. So I'm grateful for that, you know. And when I was feeling things come up for me right now, I thought back to those moments. You know, I thought back to the level of courage that younger me had, the level of strength I was able to whip up, the level of connectedness I had to the divine being that guides me, you know? And I said, okay, I can do this. I know how to get to the path back home, you know, back to myself. I also leaned on, I thought about, like, what are some of my strengths that have served me really well in challenging times? And I really would invite everyone listening to do the same, really take stock of and also celebrate the pieces of you that you may not be able to touch right now because your mind and your heart are too full with other things, but that definitely reside and exist deep down within you. For me, that also represents, like, I'm a highly detailed person. If you listen to the show and we've ever worked together, you know that I send color-coded emails. I send emails with bold, underline, italics, responses in red, highlighted sections. Like, I am very extra. That's why I make a great sharpener of people, any employees I've ever had, anybody I've ever worked with. I'm a great sharpener. So I've been leaning into that, you know, and I've been focusing some of that highly detailed, some may call it anal energy, into things that are of service to me. So something I did this last week was I sat down and I crafted a color-coded calendar for my personal growth in this moment so that I could really actively remember me right now and do the best that I could to utilize this moment and this pain and this confusion for my highest good. I have a work calendar that has, you know, my flow of things that I need to accomplish, even in this kind of weird setting of not being able to make plans. I still have certain deadlines of things that I want to do or that I'm trying to build professionally. So I'm keeping that going. I have my quest calendar, which is like the family calendar. And then I made this divine timeout calendar for myself. And every day in between the cracks and crevices of the things that I'm doing with my little baby and the things that I'm doing for my career and for work and for my business, I have slid in there all these other things I want to do. So case in point, I have it right in front of me. So I'm just looking at one of the days. The morning absolutely starts with my spiritual practice, be it I have 15 minutes for that day or an hour, what I'm going to do, which includes meditation. It's going to include some stretching. It's going to include some sound bowl therapy, some Reiki energy. It's going to include lots of journaling. So then there's that. Then it might follow up with midway in the day. Right now, I'm actively reading 10 books. So there are 10 books that I have been wanting to read, and there's no better time than now to stop being a book hoarder and really find the time. So I sat down, took me about an hour. I broke down these 10 books in actionable chapters. So like on one of the days, it says, read part one and part two of this book, read chapters one and two of this book. And I broke down my entire month like that. So 5 days out of every week of this month, I have a trackable chart of getting through these books and really doing the reading. And then I've also been doing journaling around what I've been reading, you know, instead of just intaking the information and intellectualizing my ass, because this is how I am. I always have my highlighter, I have my pen, and I do that in the book. And then I'm writing down key pieces and my interpretations in a separate journal. So I'm doing that. I usually spend about an hour a day on that reading. That's what I'm capable of right now. And if I get more time, I try to fit that in as well. Then I also include on that calendar, you know, I don't know if I've shared this with you guys, but I'm a Reiki healer. I'm a Reiki practitioner. And I really want to move forth to do some of that Reiki work in the world within my scope of what I've learned. So I've been doing a lot of distance healing. So I set aside 2 days out of every week to practice and to work on and to serve with my Reiki distance healing. Also have down salt bath. Y'all know I love salt baths. That has been really healing for me. I do that a couple of days a week. So this calendar is kind of a breakdown of where am I going to fit in all of the things that nourish my soul and being very deliberate about it. Because if I leave myself to my own devices with all of this amount of time, and I know a lot of people feel this, you get more accomplished on the days that you're really busy and less accomplished on the days that you have full freedom and full reign of how that day goes. So I'm building in 2 days a week to do that, right? To if I just want to like walk around and wander or, you know, do something in my garage or clean out Quest's room or just let the flow of sadness or joy, gratitude or fear, or whatever comes up to feel those things. But for Monday through Friday, I am doing what is necessary for me to stay connected to my highest self. For me to do that, it's important for me to make a schedule. I know myself, that's just how I work, that's just how I operate. So I'm leaning into that knowingness of myself to be an aid to myself in this deeply challenging time. So for you, anybody that feels connected to doing something similar, it's just really important to think, what are your strengths? What are the things that served you in other moments of not feeling so great? And how can we apply that right now to this moment in daily action? I don't want to confuse you with some of these memes that have been going around that have been like falsely trying to shame people into thinking their productivity is linked to their purpose or their productivity is linked to their identity. And, you know, if they don't write 2 books during this, then they didn't have the discipline. Okay, that's all bullshit. And it's, I don't believe in that type of toxic shaming positivity, but I will say apply similar thought to your personal feelings. If you want to write the book, do it. Hell, I pray that it is the bestseller and it changes lives, for myself included. But if you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to keep track of your career growth right now, because let's be quite honest, none of it matters. We don't know what this world is going to look like when we come out on the other side of it. So don't get too pulled and pushed into keeping a societal structure and model in place that does not translate to the time of right now. But what you can do is find the structure that translates for your best good right now in this moment. Another thing, when I think of my strengths, and I'm really bringing this forth right now in this moment, and sometimes this is described in more of a...
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unhealthy way, I think, when people use it, but it can also be extremely healthy and serving. I can compartmentalize in an epic manner. You know, I'm somebody that can absolutely lean into multiple feelings at the same time. I believe that you can find life to be beautiful and terrifying in the exact same moment. They are not mutually exclusive. You can have both, you know. And so for that, I'm kind of leaning into that skill set I have of being able to compartmentalize. I can be sad and I can have access to joy. Both can be true, and both can be true at the same time. I'm a multidimensional, multi-hyphenate human being. There is this duality to us, which is often really beautifully expressed in some of the things I know people have heard before, like I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. That's compartmentalizing. That represents a duality, right? You are both at once, and you can lean into what both of those things illustrate and bring forth as experiences at the same time. So leaning into that, I kind of touched on also my thought of, you know, you're allowed to grieve the year that you would have had. There's a really beautiful article that came out this week by someone I deeply, deeply admire and enjoy named Candace Benbow. She is incredible. She calls herself, I believe, a theologian feminist. She's incredible. She's a phenomenal writer, incredible voice. And she did this article that she asked me to be a part of, and it's all about allowing yourself to grieve this year. So I put a link in my newsletter. So if you got this last newsletter, it's in there. You can check it out. Also check her out on Instagram. She's just dope as hell. I also think something that's really important right now, as we're reframing some of these thoughts and feelings and experiences for ourselves, it's really important to push yourself to think clearly. Think clearly, think logically. Depression hates logic, hates it. Depression cannot exist when you look at the truth of yourself and when you look at the truth of your experiences and work to accept them. Now, there's a big difference between accepting something and liking something. We do not have to like what the world looks like right now. We don't have to. That's completely preferential. That is a preference of how we feel about right now. But something that we have to do for our own emotional and mental best interest is to accept it. There is no point in fighting against what is happening in the world right now. There is no point against fighting ourselves about how we're feeling about what's happening in the world right now. We have to accept what is. This is what is. And then we formulate a plan. We formulate healing. We formulate the ability to tap into our tools or grow more tools according to that. But we got to accept it. We got to sit in acceptance that this is what life looks like right now. And then we have to find the best way to tap into source, to spirit, and the best way to tap into ourselves and move forward accordingly. And I think really when you hear a lot of people say things like you need to surrender, you need to trust, what that's really illustrating is acceptance. What that's really, really illustrating is that you need to come into a space of your heart where you can accept that, yes, this is your life. It is. Doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. It doesn't mean it can't change. Doesn't mean that you don't want it to change. All of those things can be true, but it also just is. And we cause ourselves the most pain, the most emotional confusion when we try to fight our reality. And that is not the same as wanting to change our reality. That's very different. That can happen. But when we try to fight against what is, we cause our own suffering. So when people may be sharing with you ideas, myself included, because I do say this a lot, you know, of surrender to right now, trust right now. If it comes up for you, this kind of conflict inside, like, what are you talking about? Like, no. I'm not going to surrender to right now. This sucks. Or I don't like this, that, or other aspect of my life. I'm not going to surrender to it. You know, you're thinking in terms of winning or losing. You're thinking in terms of minimizing yourself. That's not what any of that means. What it means is expand your heart to a space where you can accept what is. You do not have to like it. But to end your own suffering, we have to accept what is. And formulate accordingly. I think that it's also important, and for some people this may feel a little scary, perhaps even a little morbid, but I'm a deep researcher. I mean, every night my favorite thing to do is go down the rabbit hole of Wikipedia of all the random things I'm thinking and just start looking up and researching them. It's funny, my partner is always like, how do you know so many things? How do you know so much about so many different things? And I'm just a deeply naturally curious person. Like, I've always been very curious. I love to feed my brain. I like to be the queen of random facts. You know, I like to pull a bunch of different things out my bag that you don't think I know about. Not in any egoic way. I don't care if you think I do or don't. But, you know, I like to have access to lots of thoughts and understandings at one time about many different things. So that also means I've been doing a pretty large amount of researching of how life has shifted and changed, how Earth, very literally Earth as a structure, as a biological kind of being, how it's existed and adapted over different centuries and different type of pandemics and plagues. So I did some lot of research on the flu of 1911. A lot of research around the bubonic plague, the black plague of the Middle Ages, and what happened. And part of trusting God is also trusting that he has to make choices sometimes that we don't want to happen, right? Because we grip really strongly on our human condition, even though we're spirits and souls, we gripped really strongly on our earth life identities and our earth life wants and desires, right? So when something like this happens and our economy is gravely disrupted, when something like this happens and we are experiencing loss of human life at such a frightening, paralyzing, and deeply sad rate, it is hard to make peace with this because we interpret this as such a great amount of suffering. And as a human being, just like everyone else, I feel that too. What I try to remind myself of, though, is God's timing is absolutely perfect, even in this moment. Everything has a reason, even though we don't understand it. Because as this human condition, as beings that are not God, we don't always have the capacity mentally or emotionally yet to really understand the fullness of his plan. We're just people. We're just humans. And we've built lives as human beings that have been in service to us trying to understand, conform, control our experiences so that they make sense to the human life, to the human mind, and the access of information that we currently have. But guys, there is so much more. There is so much more than what we are currently able to understand. It's not even fathomable. So in that space of pure potentiality, I also surrender to God's all-knowing understanding and plan. This space where Father, Mother, God knows exactly what Earth needs as a whole, not just what is in the best interest of humanity, because everything that exists is God's, not just us. There is such a profound amount of arrogance in being human. Such an arrogance in being American. We really think we are the end all be all, but there have been versions in human form that have existed and that have become extinct before we did, right? Think of the Neanderthals. There have been many different forms of human being or humanoid that have existed and had their time here and didn't. And I'm not trying to sound scary, and I'm not trying to say that this is it for us. I do not believe that to be true. And God knows this human form of who I am does not want that to be true, because I love life and I love this world. But if we say we're going to trust God, we also have to trust the fullness of who he, she is, outside of what we are considering to be in our best personal interest. And I just think it's interesting to look at some of the way that life has existed. I think, you know, and I alluded to this earlier in the show, but it's kind of interesting and incredibly humbling to come out on a street with nobody in it, no businesses going, no ego, no extra layer of identity clouding us, right? Because none of it matters. It doesn't matter what you do for a living right now. It doesn't. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have right now. It doesn't. We are all brought to our knees in different ways, and we are all feeling the effects of this in very real ways, right? So none of that other BS that never mattered anyway matters right now. It's kind of a blessing to experience the world like that, and really a true opportunity for growth, because it's giving you a glimpse of seeing yourself and seeing the world without the lens of ego. But when we really sit in this space and go outside and you hear how unbothered nature is, my God, yo, that's humbling. Wow. That's really humbling. The birds, the squirrels, the insects, the coyotes, that's what's in my area, the everything. They're not affected right now. They're not bothered by this. Life keeps moving. The trees, the grass, the wind, the rain, the sun, the soil, right? Like, this is actually a reprieve for them. We're not meddling in their lives. We're not challenging their existence for our personal gain. None of that has ever happened in my lifetime. Moments like this only happen during pandemics, historically. Moments like this have only happened in rural and remote places. And moments like this have only happened before this current existence of overpopulated human life has been in the world. So it's really just interesting and creates quite a perspective shift to let us know that we are all in deep harmony with one another, but we all, including the animals, including the earth, we have our own missions and purpose with our existence in these forms that we're in, right? We as humans tend to think that everything is in service to us. This false idea of manifest destiny that really got purported when, you know, colonization was happening from the Europeans and from the Spaniards taking over the globe. This idea of rightful dominance over anything that we see. It's all bullshit. And that's never been more apparent than right now in this moment, right? We don't control anything. That's another great thing to lean into for your personal growth right now, coming to peace with the true understanding that we don't control anything, and that's okay. It actually takes some of the pressure off. It's okay. And any control we thought we had was a false reality. We created these structures, we created these ideals since the dawn of human existence. We created concepts like time. We created language. We created concepts like good versus bad, good versus evil, experiences and judgments of things being great or terrible, joyful or painful. We created those structures. And when we overthink it, we become bound and imprisoned by those structures. But in reality, none of it actually exists to God. None of it actually exists, and it's all incredibly fragile and easily to break. All of these systems that we have put so much stock into, all of these systems that we have intertwined our identity and our vision through and in, it can be dismantled like that, based on the whims of Source, of the higher power that you believe in. So it's just kind of interesting to also, instead of letting that terrify you, for anybody that's feeling like a little tightness right now hearing me say that, for anybody that scares, this is such a beautiful opportunity to lean into it and to take the pressure and this self-imposed responsibility off of yourself and to just experience yourself as a soul and as a spirit that was brought here to experience whatever is. It's a really, really, really great opportunity to investigate within your own heart what is real, what is real, and what is old programming. Right now, are you being led by the deepest, most authentic, spirit-led feelings? Or are you being led by old programming based on societal structures, societal input, and old programming based on trauma and based on coping mechanisms that you devised to survive trauma? And for anybody out there saying, I don't know, I don't have trauma. Trauma doesn't just mean murder and rape, abuse. Trauma doesn't just mean fear in these really big ways. Trauma can also be very subtle. Trauma can be very subconscious. Trauma can be holding tight to this warped view of yourself that you had when you were a child that was born out of other people's opinions or what you were perceiving to be other people's opinions about you that then developed into you trying to make sense of your reality and make sense of yourself by crafting and piecing together these walls or these emotional responses or this spiritual bypassing. That's trauma. So in this moment, as you have this opportunity, this divine opportunity, and you sit with yourself, and for many people, that very literally means sitting with yourself by yourself, potentially for the first time in your lifetime. What is real and what is old programming that you can tap into a freedom to release? I think that's the part that's going to feel scariest for most right now, as in many states we're in this like social isolation, quarantine, for God knows how long, because every week it's something new, right? Like first it's like, hey, stay home for the week. Now, potentially, and to be quite honest, if I really listen to my intuition, I don't think that we're really going to be able to leave our homes with the freedom that we used to until potentially July, August. And I think even then, for the next year to 2 years, life is going to be dramatically different from anything we've ever seen in every possible way, which is not to say bad or scary, but it just will be really different. And we need to get ready for that. We need to get ready to adapt and to create new paths and new channels. But for a lot of people with this isolation, with this quarantining, you are being led to face yourself for the first time in your life. One of the things that I've talked about with my own spiritual journey is that I realized one day that I was sick of distracting myself with fun. For me, that represented previously having a career in entertainment and media, all the parties. I was going to all the parties with all the people, going to all the concerts, like literally 4 to 5 nights a week. I was either at a party or I was at a concert, or I was backstage at a smaller show, or I was at a red carpet interviewing somebody, you know, all of the things. And it all seemed cool. And it gave me this like identity or this perception. But it also kept me very distracted from all the things I needed to work on and all the ways that I needed to heal. And so the best thing that happened to me was when I kind of forced myself to isolate. For that kind of for me represented moving to a new state for a job opportunity where I didn't know not even one person. And I ended up moving to 2 different states within 2 years, not knowing anybody and having to spend a lot of time with myself. You know, that for me was one of the most radically transformative experiences of my life, and what also helped really turn me into this kind of juggernaut of spiritual and personal advancement and growth. So this is that opportunity for you too. And I know it scares you. It scared me because it's different, you know, and if you have spent your life really avoiding spending time with yourself or investigating your thoughts and feelings about anything, but especially your past, it's going to feel triggering right now. But I also hope that you see through that feeling of being triggered that this is also the opportunity of your lifetime. This moment, and I know it's hard to take that in because people are dying and these numbers are so staggering and scary. We're all scared. We're scared for our own lives. And we're scared for the lives of people we love. You know, a lot of people, we are scared of not having our basic needs met, not being able to survive. That's real. That's a real fear. And I get that. But to bring back to something that I shared earlier, there is also space for both. There is space to be hurting right now. There is space to be fearful right now. And at the exact same time, in the exact same human embodiment, there is space for peace, there is space for healing, and there is space for joy. We can do all of it. We don't have to have this judgment or this shame about one or the other. We don't have to create that chaos inside. We are multidimensional spiritual forms having a human experience. We can feel more than one thing. So in this moment, no matter what your situation right now, and I don't want to take away from the fact that I know that depending on what your situation is, this experience can look very, very different for you than it does for other people. But there is still space where you can take in that this is the opportunity of your lifetime. And I don't want to drill home for people this false idea that during this time you have to be productive in any way. Hell no. But I do want to drive home for you that this is not an experience to be wasted. Yes, I'm in alignment that if you are having a down day, it's okay to not accomplish anything. It's okay to veg out in your bed. It's okay to spend the whole day crying. But absolutely not will you be doing that for the whole quarantine. No. And I don't care what meme tells you otherwise. I don't care what meme is telling you, hey, if all you get accomplished from this quarantine is sitting down and crying, that's okay, sis. No, it's not. Because then you are doing the exact same thing that you've been doing in a different form. You are actively not processing and you are wasting away your opportunity to truly become who you were meant to be. And I don't mean that in a way that is tied to monetary success, to materialistic success, to anything like that of any kind. But we all came to this earth with a certain set of instructions. And those instructions did not mean anything tied to society's interpretation of success. Those instructions, however, did require that we become more of who we truly are. Do not waste this time. Use this divine opportunity wisely. This is the moment that the deepest part of your soul has been waiting for. This is it. We're here now. I think it's really important that we utilize some of this time in very specific ways. So what I want to spend the last few minutes of this show talking with you about is how to use this time wisely. So in the next couple of weeks, I am going to be releasing a 100% free challenge. Now, this is 100% free, but I want you to keep in mind, it's something that I am pouring hours and hours and hours and hours of work to. So if you decide to sign up for it, I want you to take it seriously. But I'm going to be rolling out a divine timeout challenge. So if you're already signed up for my newsletter, you'll get all the deets. If you're not, you can go to my website or go to karmabliss.com and just really easily sign up for the newsletter. But in that, we're going to go far more in depth and create accountability systems for what I'm going to lay out for you right now. But a way to use this time wisely, reading, really reading, journaling. I cannot stress this enough. And I have not always been a fan of journaling, but I am in my journalistic bag right now. I am investigating myself in ways that I never had and writing them down really unashamedly. And was that a word? I don't know. But I've been writing them down with just reckless abandon and freedom of self. And it has been amazing. Documenting yourself, really documenting this time. This is an unprecedented moment in history. We keep hearing that, right? But that also means there's an opportunity to really tell your story right now. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all the generations that will come forward after we're gone, they're going to want to know about you. They're going to want to know about life right now. Document yourself. I've started taking like all of these portrait pictures of myself, which I never do. And I'm just having fun with it. I've been writing, I've been charting, I've been graphing, I've been doing all these different things that are truly documenting who I am. Do that. Find moments to really be present. Be present with yourself. Be present with your pain. Be present with your confusion. Take time to listen to nature. Take time to think. Specifically thinking about what it is to be a spirit and a human at the same time. Take time to cultivate a humility and a gratitude for the world that we live in and the piece of the puzzle that we are in it. take time to really focus on things you do want to learn about yourself, about your history, about your family structure. Take time to unlearn all the false beliefs that you've carried on that don't actually fit. Now, you know, and I keep saying this in regards to the pandemic with my friends and my family. I keep saying like, whew, what a time to be alive. But no, really, what a time to be alive. What an opportunity. What a time to be alive with the access to tools that we have now that no generation that came before us ever had. You know, it's so easy for us, and this is a whole nother topic of a show, but it's so easy for us to be hard on our parents, to be hard on our family members, to be hard on the generations that are older than us for what they didn't do or what we're perceiving to be what they didn't teach us or the ways that they didn't heal. You know, it's not because we're so great that we have this self-awareness that they didn't have. It's because they walked so we could run. They had experiences that they didn't have the freedom to heal from that created an environment for us to have resources and healings, an environment for us to get fed up and demand change of self and demand change of the world and others, you know? But I think about this all the time when I scroll Instagram. I follow like a bunch of those really, really amazing therapist pages. Like I may be getting their names wrong, so just bear with me. But one of the pages, I think it's called like holistic therapy or holistic psychology. It's so funny sometimes because I stop and I scroll and I'll read something that is just remarkable. And I'll say, you know, I spent a fortune and spent so many years to finally learn that. And now on a random afternoon, I'm scrolling and I'm seeing one of the most introspective and profound thoughts that has the ability to unlock and radically change your life for free on Instagram, sandwiched in between ratchet and narcissistic content, right? Even if you can't afford therapy, seek out meaningful pages to follow. Stop wasting your time on gossip sites. Stop wasting your time finding judgments of others. Let's use this time. There are so many tools and resources out there. When I tell you I was in therapy for years to understand certain pieces of my childhood and my codependency and how I seem to be a massive attractor for narcissists, it took me years to figure that out about myself. And the other day, I saw I saw this aha moment that took me years to know, plainly written out on an Instagram post. Trust me, there's a lot of free tools out there. These are really meaningful bits of knowledge and work, and we have the ability to cultivate more tools than ever. Let's be deliberate about it. So before I leave, we're wrapping up right now. Before I leave, I want to share two questions with you that I think could be really interesting for you to journal about right now or to just sit in thought with. And if you haven't yet, I have a few meditations that I'm leading that are available and a few different episodes breaking down some of the thoughts that I talked about on here that are on my Instagram page at Devi Brown in my IGTV section. There's a lot of content in there. But I have a couple meditations and one of them I'm going to share on next week's episode. But, you know, take some time, whether it's that, you know, no worries. Like you can also be on the Calm app. You can be on, I personally really love the Simple Habit app. Or you can do what I think is the best option and to just sit in complete stillness and silence without any prompts and just spend time with these next two things I want to ask you. So one of them is when you think about your life right now, when you think about your experiences in this moment, I want you to think a little more deeply and I want you to think, who am I being called to become right now? Who is God calling me to become in this moment? An answer might come forward for you, and also it may not. So don't try to rush to fill that with any response that your mind can calculate. Utilize that as a question that the divine can answer for you at its pace over this quarantine, over this epidemic. You know, who is God calling me to become right now? The real truth of it is, we are all going to come out of this so profoundly changed. And we are coming out of this into a world that is forever changed. Are you going to walk out of those doors when the time comes for us to be set free? Are you going to walk out of those doors as the same? As seeing the world as the same? As seeing yourself as the same? What a waste that would be. I've been doing this work and this kind of excavation of self for so many years that sometimes it makes my head spin to really sit in the knowingness that the work is never done. It can be overwhelming. But I've done a considerable amount of work, and it is my heart's deepest desire that I walk out of those doors having learned so much more, having become so much more than I currently am, having expanded my heart to a space it hasn't been yet. And I'm currently walking through two very intense challenges. And these are two things that I really am excited about sharing with you guys. They're very difficult, but they're two very real challenges that have been happening to me really in the span of this quarantine that I will be able to talk about more fully as I continue to process them. But yeah, I'm standing in the depths of discomfort right now too. And it is my deepest hope and desire that through my deliberate action right now in these moments, I will come out on the other side of this so much more than I currently am, for the highest good of myself and all those connected to me. Second question, last question to hold in your space of higher consciousness right now. What are the parts of myself I've been avoiding? And how can I embrace them more fully? Really sit with that, especially in the moments that things feel tight and uncomfortable for you. Especially if you're feeling really emotionally and physically isolated right now. In those difficult moments where your heart wants to constrict, I urge you to stretch it. And really think, what parts of myself have I been avoiding? That's the question to really utilize in service of your highest good. To really utilize as a catalyst for radical shifting and changing inside of yourself. What parts of myself have I been avoiding? And how can I embrace them more fully? Because it is okay to not have it all together. It is okay to not know the answers. It is okay to be flawed, to not be perfect. But when you are in the pursuit of being whole, you will recognize that you can love all the facets of yourself at the exact same time. I can love the shiniest pieces of me, and I can love the tiny monsters inside of me. All the facets of who I am are worthy of my own attention and my own love. All right, guys, that's it for this episode. Felt really good to talk to you. Thank you for listening. As always, I'm so grateful for any time that you take to share this show, whether it's on social media, whether it's through a text message. If you feel so called, if you connected with this show in any way, share it with 5 friends on text today. If you have a moment and you feel called, no pressure, but it would mean the world if you left a review and gave us a rating. I really appreciate you listening. I really appreciate this being a safe space for all of us to feel. I love you guys. Stay open. Peace.
Big thank you for listening to this episode of the Dropping Gems podcast. This show is executive produced by Adrian Scott and me, Devi Brown. Our theme music was created by producer Day One, and the poem that you heard at the beginning of the show, well, that was created especially for us by award-winning poet Nnamdi Okafor. you have a quick moment right now, please hit subscribe on the show. And if you like what you heard, take it a step further and give us a 5-star rating. Until next time, you connect with me on IG at Debbie Brown or my website, debbiebrown.com. Be blessed.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hey, cousins, it's Debbie Brown from Deeply Well with Debbie Brown. I'm so excited to announce that I'm going to be hitting the stage at the Black Effect Podcast Festival. So join me for a live episode of Deeply Well. It'll be featuring Michelle Williams and Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. I cannot wait to be in conversation with these beautiful queens, along with some of the dopest shows in the podcast industry. They will be there too, all taking place in Atlanta, Saturday, April 27th. I'll be hitting the live podcast stage with other amazing shows like Carefully Reckless, Black Tech Green Money, and so many more. Make sure you grab your tickets at blackeffect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.